are so excited that you have been able to carve some time out of your schedule to be with us tonight. I want to thank you for that before we even get started. You may have noticed some scrolling numbers behind my head. That is a countdown to graduation. Yeah, there's a few people excited about that. That's good. That actually might, I don't know, motivate a few students to get home and study tonight as they see this ticker going down continuously. Tonight's theme stems around this idea that God is big, but time is short. And we thought it might be a good visual for you to look at the screen as this night goes on to see the constant banner that our staff is under all the time. And we want to do something a little bit unique tonight. I would like to have my entire staff welcome you. And by doing that, I thought maybe I would like to tell you our story briefly. 19 years ago, doesn't seem like it's been that long, and well, some days it feels like it's been longer. My wife and I, Paulette, came here to ISU to do campus ministry. And my wife doesn't get an awful lot of credit for the amount of investment that she puts forth to make this ministry happen even today. And so I'd like her to just stand up and be recognized for a second. Plus, I kind of like to show her off a little bit. Well, when we came here, there was no staff. There was no ministry in the Philippines. And for some of you, you don't know anything about that. And so maybe where I need to start is to let you know that we actually have 5 staff that you will not meet tonight because they live in the Philippines. Those 5 staff are Ronald and his wife, Gigi. Did I say Ronald? I meant Arnold. All right. Arnold and his wife, Gigi. It's been a long time since I've seen my staff there. I'll be seeing them next month. Arnold and Gigi, and then we have Ronald. We have Marty, and we also have Harvey, who's our newest hire there. But 19 years ago, there was none of that, and there was none of what we even have now today. And what we did have is we had 8 students. We had 8 students and 15 board members. Okay? Now, anytime that your bosses outnumber your congregation by 2, that is not good in any way, shape, or form. And it was not fun times. I can remember sitting in my office, staring across the street at campus, dreaming of things that might one day happen, having my mind try to be full of the potential that was across that street, but that was often interrupted by the sound of a deafening silence in the campus house. I can't tell you what an awful, awful sound that is to sit in that big campus house all by yourself. Those were my first years. And it was not easy, and it was not fun. God did some really cool things during my solo years, but I don't miss those days. They really were hard. 11 years ago, Ben and Joe joined me here at ISU, and they've really grown to be the foundation for this place. Out of necessity, Ben wears a lot of hats for us. But primarily, these two are responsible for discipling our small group leaders who shepherd our entire flock. One glaring need that we felt as a staff of 3 was that we needed more service. We prayed hard for this, and God answered our prayers, and 6 years ago, we brought on Phil Lopez. He joined our team, and Phil is such a gift. He originally brought a spring break ministry called STLF to ISU, and shortly after hiring him, he developed a service team for our local community. He also expanded our one mission trip a year to the Philippines to include mission trips to Mississippi, Minnesota, and Mexico. These service opportunities brought more students, and more students meant more girls. And with a growing ministry and a growing Miller family, Joe's part-time duties were just not enough, as you can see represented up here. We needed more full-time female staff. Last year, we were so excited to bring on Haley and Michelle. There is a lot that these two young women do. Aside from their direct discipleship investment in girls, they have this year teamed up with Phil, and they have invested in 16 student leaders for service projects around town. And together, these students have attacked our community in the best of ways. Local homeless shelters, single moms, and kids of all ages have been recipients of this team on a daily basis. Our ministry is increasing in number, it's increasing in influence, and this year we have really felt the increase in complexity. Let's not forget that we also have a growing internship program along with five other staff on three campuses in the Philippines. One of our interns this year made things even more complicated by recruiting 18 students to a mission trip to Cambodia next month. Now, I want you to pause for just a moment. I want you to take in the immense task of tracking multiple interns, multiple staff on two countries, as well as over 100 students traveling in six different mission trips this semester, all without even having a bookkeeper. So we approached that same intern to be our full-time office manager. And she said yes. So it's with great excitement that I get to introduce to you all our newest staff member, Molly Beal. The image that I want to impress upon your mind isn't what you see here. It's what you don't see here. You don't see the 80-plus students that these staff members meet with every single week. You don't see the impact that those students have on this campus. I want you to see the hundreds of marriages and the thousands of kids that will be influenced from this line of people here. You need to know that this staff has given a tremendous sacrifice of time and money to be on this stage today. As we welcome you to the 2015 Spring Banquet, would you join me in honoring God as we thank these awesome people? We'll have an opening prayer now. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the storyline. I want to thank you for the heart that you obviously have for this campus. I want to thank you for the right people at the right time that have made this story so beautiful. I want to thank you for the students and the parents that are here tonight. I want to thank you for a faithful board that has overseen us, worked with us. I want to thank you for all that you have done in this. And tonight, Father, as we talk about the things that have happened this year, we ask, and I ask, that every soul in this room would understand that this is not about us. It's your story. And it's your story that we want to be lost in tonight. We want to give you credit for it tonight. And I pray that as people drive home at the end of our meeting here tonight, that there would be nothing but praise for our Lord Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
So, hi, I'm Maddie. I am a sophomore, and this is my second year at Encounter. So, trying to sum up the last 2 years and what God has done has been tough, because there's so much that I could say. But I think that what God has taught me the most through Encounter is his faithfulness. So a little bit about me. I grew up in a Christian home, and I always knew about God, and always tried to live a good life. But it was a shallow relationship. And so my senior year of high school, it wasn't hard to fall into the typical party scene. So the summer before I came to college was really hard on me because I was living two different lives. And I knew what I was doing was wrong. So I was extremely convicted and torn and hurt. And I ended up in the hospital 2 weeks before I was supposed to come to school because of a suicide attempt. And that was definitely the lowest I've ever been, and I knew that I needed to make a change because obviously what I was doing was destroying me. So when I came to school, I started coming to Encounter partly because I wanted to, partly because my parents made me, and said if I didn't, they would bring me home. So I came to Encounter broken and hurt, but I found so much love here with these people that it didn't take long for me to slowly start to heal. I made amazing friends, which was new for me because I had never had Christian friends before. And these people truly loved me and cared for me, not because of what I did or how I looked or acted, but just for being me, which was amazing. They also challenged me and helped me grow and really encouraged me in everything that I did. At Fall Retreat this past year, I was finally able to let go of all the guilt and shame I had been clinging to, and I was finally free and ready to let God use me. I ended up getting baptized shortly after that, went to Mexico this past spring break with people from Encounter, and that was just such an amazing experience. The things I've experienced here in the last 2 years have been life-changing, to say the least. So going back on my theme of faithfulness, one verse that I hold on to is Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." And God took me in my most vulnerable time, when I didn't see any hope or purpose for my life, and led me to ISU and here to Encounter and put these people in my life for a reason. One example of this, and an example of his faithfulness, is at the beginning of this year, I had no idea where I was going to be living next year, and everyone had roommates already, and I was prepared to live with random people, honestly, or I made a joke, a cardboard box. But I trusted that God had something for me, so I just waited it out and prayed. And somehow God worked it out, and I'm living with Shanoa and Tori and Claire, which those of you who know them, they all go to Encounter, and they're three of the most amazing girls I've ever met. I've been watching them for the past 2 years, and they were the people I looked up to the most because they love God and radiate his likeness, which is so beautiful. If I had to choose three people to live with, they would be at the top of my list. So the fact that I basically have an all-star team this late in the game is clearly a God thing. Even though I don't know what this next year will bring for me, especially since my parents are moving to the Czech Republic to be missionaries in the fall and leaving me to fund for myself, I know that God will continue. Sorry, Dad. I know that God will continue to be faithful and come through. And I know that my Encounter family will always be here for me, which really means a lot. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Anna Torres. I'm the alumni. Went to Encounter 2004 to 2008, so that was also Ben and Joe's first year. And I also, at the end of high school, hit my own rock bottom in different ways and became a Christian for the first time. I had no prior knowledge and had decided to come to ISU before to party. So now being a Christian, I felt a little overwhelmed to start this new life. And first coming on campus, I don't know if it's still like this, but all the fraternities had like big signs that said, "Daddies, drop your daughters off here," and it really scared me. And then I see this little building, and I also don't know if it's still on the building, but with two hands reaching to each other. Is that still on there? Oh, cool. Well, that immediately appealed to me. So I walked in, and there was a couple students having like a party or something, and they told me about Encounter. Excuse me. And it felt safe. It became a safe haven to me. I started spending pretty much all of my free time at the campus house. And back then, Encounter was like 20 or 30 of us. And so it's a little bit different. And I'm so glad that you guys are here. But I needed something. I needed some guidance. I had none. And I was hungry. I wanted to swallow as many books as I can. I wanted to dive in the Bible, and I had no like Bible stories from childhood. And since there wasn't a lot of us, a lot of times Ben and Pete both had open offices, and I'd come sit on the floor, and they would let me look through their books or ask silly questions. And I'll never forget that. Now being older and in a normal church, which is way lame compared to campus ministry, sorry, I constantly have a heart for people who are new to faith because I had so many questions, and I remember verses that came to life to me that were like amazing and mind-blowing, and to people who had gone to church forever, they were old verses, so that was very significant. But shortly after that, because Encounter was so small and God was moving so much in my life, I joined the leadership team and was able to be discipled by Joe. And when Joe and I first met, I've always been a very sensitive soul, and I always do soul searching, so I'm constantly changing my entire identity and how I dress myself and everything like that. And I feel like Joe and I probably couldn't have been more different at the time. But somehow we connected, and she's my once-in-a-lifetime friend. I feel so incredibly grateful that God crossed our paths, because today when something is going horrible, I text Joe, or when something's great, I text Joe. It's the same. But learning to be a disciple of somebody taught me a lot about being a disciple of Christ. I had no idea of this Christianese concept. And it was really amazing to learn that the closer I was to Joe, the more like her I could be, and to see that the closer I was to Christ, the more like him I could be. So being discipled, I got to start discipling. I started leading small groups, things that I would have never thought that I would do. I got to witness life change. I was baptized. I started baptizing. Totally mind-blowing things for me. I'd never prayed out loud, and I was constantly praying with people and praying on campus. And those things that I did so awkwardly at first became natural. And to be in my adult life now, to have these skill sets that are natural is irreplaceable. It's an experience that I would have never realized what was shaping for me, especially because I do feel like going from a campus ministry, my Sunday church at the time was the Jesus Coffee House. I was very passionate about the homeless and the impoverished. So then going to the suburbs and going to a church, it was a very different experience. I had to learn to cultivate community, and I'm so grateful that I had that here, that I saw what real community could be, what doing life together could be, because it gave me a heart to create that. But I'd have to say, for me, the biggest thing that I pulled away from Encounter is more personal. All of those tools I needed, and I'll always be grateful, but I struggled with emotions for a long time. When I was young, I think I turned that part of myself off. I was sensitive, but I couldn't admit that I needed people. And so becoming a Christian, I almost used that as a cop-out. It was like, okay, I can be sold out for Jesus, so now I don't need people still, because now I can kind of twist that truth and make it something that fit into how I wanted things to go. I had decided that I wasn't going to get married. I didn't really want kids. I was going to go do whatever God wanted me to do. And I remember I have journals where I wrote, like, God, send me to Africa, send me, I'll go anywhere, and I meant it. And at the time, that's how I actually ended up at the Jesus Coffee House. I felt like God led me there, but I never would have guessed where my life was going. And being with Jo, she was very gentle and gracious and patient with me in times that I would be stubborn and try to be unemotional when deep down I really am a very emotional person. And I feel that she really loved me through that season, and I got to see the fruit of mentorship that way. And I, shortly after I had decided that I was never going to get married, I fell in love. And through Encounter, and I was so lucky to have Ben and Joe and Pete too, and Paulette, oh, hi, but to kind of be in our relationship and help me sort through that and invest in my relationship with this person, because now we've been married 7 years, and I can't even, I mean, I'm going to cry talking about it. I can't even believe that that's where my life went, because that's not what I wanted. But God had so much good in the plans for that family to begin. So I'm just very grateful for that. And I have two beautiful children. I never thought that I would be a parent, which is ridiculous because I love children. That's actually part of how I got close to Ben and Joe. I started babysitting for them once a week, and back then it was just Levi and Elijah, and they were 2 and 3, and Elijah has always been inquisitive and special. We had a special friendship, even 3-year-old Elijah, and he'll always be special to me, but Levi was very affectionate. I don't know where he is. I kind of wish I was there. And you're still affectionate, but when he was 2, when his mom would hold him, he just naturally was constantly, like, playing with her hair and touching her face. And so when I would come over, he'd do the same thing to me. So here I am trying to pretend I'm, like, this hard, tough person, but I loved snuggling with Levi. It was just, it was magic, and it was doing something to me, and I didn't really realize what it was doing. But I remember one time we sat down and we were going to watch a movie, and I made popcorn. We're sitting there and I'm snuggling with Levi, and they're fighting and we're eating popcorn, and they get to the bottom of their bowl and they're like, Anna, where's the M&Ms? And I was like, what M&Ms? And apparently their mom had always put M&Ms or chocolate chips at the time in the bottom of the bowl. And that was something special that their mom did that they didn't maybe even realize was special. They expected it. They thought that it would be there. And maybe she wasn't realizing that that was a significant thing. But for me, that was the moment that I realized the power that a mother has, in the sense that that influence is just so unique and special, that a mother shapes the way that children see the world, the things that they find joy in, the way that they see God, the way that they see themselves. And that was the beginning for me. So now to fast forward and be 30 and have these two beautiful kids, I just feel like I'm living a dream. God has blessed my life so much. And if I didn't come through Encounter, I genuinely don't know where I would be. So you guys that are here now, lean in. The people here love you so much. It's amazing to see the discipleship teams that you have now, because that power of mentorship, it's those subtle things that you don't even realize that someone's rubbing off on you, that you're going to look 10 years later and be like, that's what changed my life. And that's the power you have, too, in learning these skill sets and being able to go into your communities or wherever you end up. If you do end up as a missionary in Africa, that you can be disciple as well. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Andrew Tobin. A lot of people call me Tobin, so you probably, I don't know, you might have heard of me. Maybe. But I do have a first name. It's Andrew. I'm a sophomore here, and yeah, I'm just going to get into it. I came in searching for a campus ministry or a church or something. I was a believer in high school, but I wasn't really following Christ. So I came welcome week, the first week my freshman year, and they had a Mexican dinner, which is kind of ironic because I went to Mexico this past spring break. And I came with Maddie, who spoke earlier. We went to church back home. The staff here, they focus in on names. They tell us that names are important. Names are a big deal. And I have a lot of names that have influenced me in the past 2 years. So welcome week. I got welcomed right away by a guy named Luke DeGraff. He's awesome. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's in Europe right now, and he's just awesome. He welcomed me right in. And then I got plugged into some small groups, and I got connected with those guys right away. These guys encouraged me and challenged me in my faith. One of them is Brad Dimmitt, and there he is. Honestly, when I met him, I was like, I don't know, like, how I'm going to connect with this guy. Like, we're kind of, I felt like we were the total opposite. But the more that I hang out with him, the more that he invests in me, the more I realize that we are two similar people. And God just, like, blessed me with a friendship that I have with him. And so another person that is hugely important to my life that God has blessed me with is Phil Lopez. He's on staff here. He pushed me into discipleship. I was real hesitant at first to get very involved here. I was basically doing what I did in high school. I was coming to Encounter, trying to, like, live a double life, but I was still going out on the weekends, and I just wasn't living for Christ. And I met with Phil second semester last year, and we just read a book together. We went to a coffee shop, and he just, like, invested in me and really taught me, like, what it meant to be spiritually disciplined, and all these contradictions in my life, and just that I wasn't living for Christ. He really pushed me to go on May missions trip. He wanted me to go on winter missions trip, but I told him, oh, it's too expensive, I can't go, just full of excuses. And when it came to May missions trip, I literally had no excuse. Like, it was affordable, no class or anything. Like, at the end of the year, I was out of excuses. And I was at a time where I was ready to just let Christ take over my life. I was just done with all this living a two-life thing. It was not satisfying at all. I was just ready to live for Christ. And so I went on May missions trip, and I learned a ton about what missions really was. I had this mindset that missions was all about, like, you had to go to Africa, and you had to do all this stuff there. But that is missions. But we have a state here. We have a community here that needs Jesus just as much as the people in Africa. And that just really changed my life, that May missions trip. I learned really what we have. We have one mission, and it's to make disciples of all nations. And so this past summer, I went back home. I got a camp job. God gave me a passion to work with kids, and it changed my life. I ended up switching my major to elementary education. Sorry. God just gave me a passion to work with kids. And I came back this last year at the start of the fall. And Phil pulled, like, we met up the first week, and he's like, hey, we have this service project, and we want you to lead it. It's for the Boys and Girls Club, and it couldn't have come at a perfect time. I've been able to work with these kids every week, go there, and just get people excited to work with these kids and show them God's love, the love that he has shown me, and I'm able to give that to these kids. Because some of them come from really broken homes, And the past fall, on fall retreat, I made the decision to get baptized. I knew that it was time to fully surrender and live obedient to God. And so I got baptized at fall retreat in the community that has welcomed me so much. And it was one of the most surreal moments of my life. When I got out of the tank, I just burst into tears, and I remember just hugging Phil and just like sobbing so much, and just being surrounded by a community that loves me and that has shown me God's love. It was so incredible to experience. And so, fast forward a little bit, God called me to go to Mexico around the time of the applications. It was like October. Phil again was like pushing me to go on this trip now, and I was all for it. I didn't know why God was calling me there, but he was calling me there for a reason, and I just decided to obey and live in that obedience. And so I went to Mexico and totally fell in love with Spanish-speaking culture, and just grew close to a lot of the students in Mexico, and I learned more about what campus ministry looks like internationally, and it was an incredible experience. I got to go with a ton of people that love me and support me and encourage me and challenge me in my faith, and it was surreal to experience. So to kind of wrap up, don't hesitate to get involved in this community. I waited far too long to really get invested here, and we only have so little time in this community, and I mean, Jesus commands us to make disciples of all nations, and there's really no excuse to not take advantage of that. We have a campus here that is so desperate for Jesus, and I just was able to experience that, and God has completely transformed my life because of Encounter, and I'm so blessed to be in this community. Thank you.
I want to remind you that God is big and time is short. And tonight, I know of no better place to start than to just talk about those people who surrendered their life through baptism. And I want to make it clear on the front end that we just do not preach baptism, we preach Jesus. And there is a lot of response that just comes from a place in this point in their life in college where they know that it is time to surrender, and there is a natural response to that. And I always fear that there might be people in the audience here tonight that just think that we're just trying to get numbers up. We just don't. We don't do that. We preach Jesus, and the results are what they are. There is nothing more miraculous than a changed life. We are spoiled around here. We have seen a miracle of a changed life on a weekly basis lately. I don't know if it was 7 or 8 weeks ago, Tyler got baptized, and then Shanoa the following week. After that, I believe it was Tori. I'm going to miss some names, I think. And then Maggie Coons. Week after that, we had Josh and Isaiah baptizing each other. The week after that, we had 7 people get baptized in one night. Never saw that before here. Last week, we had Andrea. And it will be no surprise to our students here that we have Jenny Toon getting baptized tomorrow night. Yeah, that's awesome. Last week, I met with Brianna. Brianna came in my office. She met with me after those nights of that baptism. She said, there's something about these students, or something about their life, or something about tonight that just making me realize that I'm not feeling God like I did. And I want to feel him again. And you can imagine kind of what my conversation may have looked like. I gave her some scripture to read. Last Monday, she met me before Encounter. She said, I read those scriptures, and nothing's really changed. I'm like, well, I appreciate your honesty, Brianna. Well, that night we talked about the Holy Spirit. It was just the text that we were in that night. And there was something about the Holy Spirit in that night, maybe some words, for sure some of the scripture, that kind of began to change her perspective and make her alive. And something became alive within her, and she met with me just a few days ago, 3 days ago, and said, we were reading through Philippians on Wednesday night, and oh my goodness, my small group, and everything's making sense, and she just had this big smile on her face, and I'm, you know, and I didn't tell her this, but Brianna, I don't think it would have mattered what scripture you read that night. The Lord is going to speak when the Spirit touches your heart, that's going to open you up to things. And Brianna says, I want to get baptized tomorrow night too. So there's two tomorrow night. This brings our total baptism count for the year to 71. Introducing, and this thing, I want you to know that that includes our ministries in the Philippines. Our ministries in the Philippines like do twice as much ministry as we do here, and I get to like use their numbers to kind of help us get excited about things. But all of them are miracles. There is nothing more significant or miraculous than a changed life, but I'm telling you, God is showing us things lately here. And he is telling us and he's showing us that there is always something bigger around the corner. I want to take you back to that very private and emotional moment that I shared in our campus house 20 years ago. When I sat by myself and I had never seen one baptism here. God smiled on me and he said, I'm going to show you something that you've never seen here, Pete. It's amazing to see things that you've never seen before. I'd never seen a ministry graduate students. And now I've got Annas all over the place. I have 100% of my congregation that gets to be sent as missionaries. In his bigness, God, not only did he give me things to show that I've not seen here, but he has let me see things that I have never seen, period. I have never seen discipleship sweep across the campus and allow Jesus to be king ever like I thought I could. It's even greater than what I've read in the discipleship books. I have never seen a ministry with a budget of only $300,000 employ 11 full-time staff and one part-time staff. I've never seen that. I've never seen such an underpaid staff remain so faithful. Jesus said that there would be shepherds that are called who stay, and there will be shepherds who are hired who leave. I have been here 19 years. Ben and Joe have been in campus ministry 16 years. Arnold in the Philippines has been with me 18 years. Ronald has been with me 17 years. Phil's been with me 6 years. Haley and Michelle. And now Molly, don't have any plans of leaving. There's something about this place that draws people who are called. I have never seen that before. I get to see that now. Have you ever seen? Let me ask you. Let me just ask you that question. Have you ever seen a ministry that produce 70 to 100 baptisms every year? Have you ever seen a church that sends 100% of its congregation as missionaries? Have you ever seen a ministry that has a staff our size with a budget our size? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a ministry that has been able to carry out the Great Commission by sending disciple makers directly into the United States, the Philippines, England, Spain, India, North Africa, Israel, Sweden, and Thailand? If you have, please do me a favor. Give to that ministry. I mean that. Give everything you can to that because it's changing the world. If you haven't, please let me tell you a little more about us. Our best stories are the ones of our alumni. We have 7 alumni serving as full-time ministries in 5 local churches within 30 miles of this place. We also have alumni that have started churches in Chicago and the Quad Cities and Fort Collins and Phoenix and Matumba, Africa. We have alumni serving specifically as campus ministers, where they get to send their own people out. I have 4 of those alums that are serving in 4 different countries, not to mention the hundreds of people like Anna, who are godly moms and dads, husbands and wives. Can you imagine what might happen if all of our local churches caught the same vision of investing in tomorrow's leaders on campus today? If our entire community began to catch the vision of what God is up to here, if somehow we could raise another $100,000, $200,000, maybe $500,000, what else have we not seen? What grand thing has yet to be revealed that none of us have seen yet? I don't know. But don't you want to see it? We have hopes this year of releasing a multifaceted system where stories of life change both on campus and off can be celebrated by all of us. We have hopes of 6 to 8 interns that will be specific campus ministry-related interns in the near future with possible new campus ministry plans. We have dreams of sending 1,000 leaders into our world on an annual basis. That's my dream. Every year we send 1,000 students. Tonight, I'm going to let you know I don't know what God is really up to, and I don't know what he will do. But if we are going to see something that we have never seen before, I believe it's going to take all of us. Tonight, I am asking you to give to something much bigger than yourselves, so much bigger than any of us. I am not asking for you to contribute to a cause that is temporal or to a project that is fleeting. I am asking you to be a part of our team tonight. I believe deeply that the perfect storm is brewing. We have a momentum with the students that's obvious. We have a strong staff. We have a wise board, and we have a strategic plan. And it's your financial help that will propel God's work in this time-intensive place. As Ben comes up, I want to make you guys aware of these yellow cards at the center of your table. These are cards that mean so much to the stability of our place here. These are our electronic monthly donation cards. Would you consider investing where God is clearly at? I'm asking you. I'm not asking the person at your table. I'm asking the person in your chair. What percentage of your salary is God asking you to contribute to this ministry? What percentage of your salary does God want you to write on that yellow card tonight? In a moment, we're going to take an offering. And we're going to ask that all forms, there are ways you can get involved. There's a full page form that's in your mess of things there in front of you. And we're asking that all forms and checks, especially yellow cards, get filled out and placed in that manila envelope at the center of your table. We're going to give you a few moments to pray and to consider what amount God wants you to give. And I want to thank you in advance for your generosity. Our God is big, but time is short.